Good morning, and what a great privilege it is to come together this morning to worship God and now to spend some time in God's Word. We're glad that you're here, and if you're visiting, we appreciate your presence. I forgot to mention to Reggie in the announcements that about a month from now, I will be going to the Philippines, and I appreciate your prayers on my behalf and the church support and the elders allowing me to make that trip. I will be gone December the 1st, Sunday evening through December the 21st. So please pray for those efforts and the good work, hopefully, that we can do then and there. Individually, if you would like to give for that trip, there are three things that I will mention. There's always a need for Bibles, and if you'd like to give for Bibles, I can certainly make sure that that gets to them. That's always sort of a regular need. Any needy brethren that you would like to give toward, and then we support Mario and Wilney, and they have incurred some recent extra expenses, and if you would like to help them with that. Back in August, Wilney was in the hospital for about a month with some serious intestinal problems, and they're still trying to pay that off and recover from that. And then about 2 weeks ago, they had a typhoon, and a large tree fell on their septic tank and broke that. And you can imagine the problem with that. And so they've gotten it fixed, but they've had to borrow some money for that. So if you'd like to help for those needs, I can make sure that that gets to those brethren. And I appreciate your prayers and concern. And of course, as time gets closer, I'd appreciate it if you'd keep Sherry in mind and be mindful of her while I'm away from her. We live in a very distracting world. I've entitled my lesson this morning, Pay Attention. We live in a very distracting world that takes our attention away from important things. And I want to remind us this morning from God's Word to pay attention. And I'm just as guilty as anyone to be distracted. It's easy to be distracted. And, of course, we have a big campaign in our country about not driving and texting at the same time. It's so tempting. But looking at our phone, texting or something along those lines while we're trying to drive is very distracting. It's tempting, but it's not good for us. And we live in a world, especially with more technology and all kinds of things bombarding us, where it's hard to focus, maybe. But we're going to be told in the Word of God this morning, and we're going to spend primarily our time in 1 Timothy, some passages where Paul says, pay attention. The older versions use the word take heed. The newer versions, like New American Standard, ESV, they say pay attention. And it's good to learn to focus and pay attention. Now this morning, before we get to Bible matters, I just simply wanted to mention some things that would help us to focus. We can actually train our brain to focus more. We can actually work at it and get better with our focus. We can raise the level of our attention span if we work at it. I'm going to give you a few suggestions here this morning that are not meant to be just Bible matters or religious matters, but in any aspect of our life, school, work, personal life, whatever. Let me talk about those things first, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Because we live in a highly distracting world, I thought it would be good for us to remind ourselves to pay attention. You can think about some Bible characters that had a distraction problem. In our scripture reading this morning in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus went into the home of Mary and Martha, the text says that she was cumbered about with much serving, the old version. The newer version says she was distracted. So she was going here and there, and I got to get the plates right, and here's the cups over here, and where's the food, and here's the table, is the table set right? And she's going around. And Mary was just sitting there listening to Jesus. She had chosen the good part. She's focusing on what Jesus is saying, and Martha is distracted with much serving. Can you think of any other Bible characters that had a problem with distraction? Well, the Israelites come to mind, wandering through the wilderness. A good part of them had a distraction problem. Stephen said that they turned back in their hearts to Egypt. They weren't looking forward to Canaan. They were looking back to Egypt. Samson comes to mind. He was distracted with Delilah and her wiles and gave up the secret of his strength. I think of David and Bathsheba. He was distracted, right? And I think of Solomon and his wives. He was distracted. His wives turned his heart away from the Lord. And then you come to the New Testament, and I think of Martha, and I think of Peter in Matthew chapter 14, walking on the water. The text says that when he saw the wind, that he began to sink. His eyes were not on Jesus. And so, it's easy to get distracted in a very chaotic world, a world that's filled with a lot of input, a lot of sensory input, a lot of things you can see and a lot of things you can hear. And so I want to talk this morning about what Paul says to Timothy, pay attention. But before we do that, there's some things that we can actually do to raise our level of attention. First of all, remove any unnecessary distractions, whether literal noise or metaphorical noise. If there's anything that we can remove that is absolutely not necessary, just because we can have information doesn't mean that we actually have to have it. Just because you can see a bunch of stuff at one time and hear a bunch of stuff at one time doesn't mean that that's necessarily good for us. Okay? So remove anything that is unnecessary at the moment in order to focus on what is important. Serving and meals and things like that, perfectly fine. But at the moment when Jesus is in your home, it's best just to not worry about that other stuff. That can come later. Focus on listening to Jesus. So that leads me to my next suggestion, and that is learn to prioritize. There's nothing wrong with serving. But when Jesus is in your home, prioritize that. There's nothing wrong with texting, but when you're driving, driving's more important. You know, it just has to do with your safety and so that you don't hurt someone else or yourself. You just got to learn to prioritize. It's not that the other thing is necessarily bad. It's just not important right now. Okay? And I think what's happened in our society is we've been conditioning ourselves that if you can have it all at once, then you need to have it all at once. And that's not necessarily true. Okay? Just focus on one task at a time. Break it up into small units. Just live in the moment. For example, right now. Just enjoy the lesson. And when we're singing, just enjoy the words of the song. Don't be thinking about, well, what am I going to have for lunch? Just listen to the voices around you and focus on the words and not think about, well, what ball game is on later today? Or where am I going to go for lunch? Just enjoy the moment. Just enjoy the Bible study for right now, for example. And you can learn to take something that's big and break it up into small units. For example, at work. Let's say you have an 8-hour day and you're thinking, well, 8 hours, well, you got this big old thing. Well, just break it up into smaller, manageable focus times. You have 15 minutes here, and then I'm going to focus on the next 15 minutes, and then I'm going to focus on the next 15 minutes. Just break it up. We enter into this thing where we try to do something, well, this whole thing, and then we're distracted. Focus on one thing at a time. Do you know that good health actually helps your brain to function in a better way? Just being healthy. Just eating right, exercise, getting a good amount of sleep and rest. Hydration. That's interesting. Staying hydrated. Staying healthy. Your body needs to stay healthy, but your brain is a muscle. It has to stay healthy, and it has to be fed right and rested right and hydrated and all of that. We don't think about that. But eat right, be healthy. It actually helps our mind to function better. We sometimes don't think about that. We need to take some brain breaks. One of the problems today is that we feel like we've got to see everything and hear everything, and so it's just constantly bombarding us. And the more technology we have, you know how that when we get more technology, we never get rid of the first technology. We just add to it, you know. So, you know, it was the old Edison Victrola, you know, and then the radio, and then the record player, and then the TV, and then the computer, and then the internet, and then the smartphone around 2010, and we don't get anything off the plate, we just keep adding on to it. And so we feel like that with all this stuff going on, we've got to just constantly see everything and hear everything when we don't. The psalmist several times says to meditate on the Word of God. Do we even do that? Do we just get a quiet place? And of the five senses, the two that we kind of keep going 24/7 are our eyes and our ears. Constantly seeing stuff, constantly hearing stuff. But why not read a passage and then just close your eyes in a quiet place and just think about those words? Focus on those words. Can we meditate? You know, you hear the word meditate, you think of somebody that is sitting cross-legged in a yoga position. You know, he's meditating. Well, that's fine. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to sit cross-legged on a floor. If some of us did that, we'd have a hard time getting up. Myself included. But just get a quiet time, shut your eyes, and just think about what you read in God's Word. Keep a clean, uncluttered environment. My workbench right now is cluttered up. I got to get that thing cleaned off. Keep a clean desk. Keep a clean desk. Keep a clean workbench. Keep a clean kitchen counter. Keep a clean garage. When stuff is all cluttered up, we're stressed as to where to find things and where to go get stuff and where's my this and where's my that. A clean, uncluttered environment. And then last of all, we can actually train our brain to be more focused. You can actually work on focus exercises. And there's all of these puzzles that people do. Crossword puzzles, word search, all these things that you can do. There's even Bible puzzles you could do if you wanted to do that. But even a puzzle aside, you know, try this sometime. Go home, get a quiet place, read three verses. Read three verses in your Bible, and then just turn your Bible over and ask yourself, what did I just read? What did I just read? What was said there? What are the main points there? You can actually train your brain to focus more and to hone in on something and zoom in on something. My point is that just like your biceps or various muscles in your body can be trained to lift weight, you can train your brain to focus more and be more attentive. Yeah. So I just offer those as some suggestions. Turn with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. I want to look at some pay attention passages primarily in the book of 1 Timothy. We're going to look at one in Titus. Pay attention. Pay attention. Let's move our discussion now to spiritual things. Pay attention. In a world where there's just all kinds of stuff going on, pay attention. Wake up, focus, and sometimes that's needed in our life. And so Paul, knowing that, says these things to Timothy and Titus. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Till I come, give heed or pay attention to reading, that's the public reading of Scripture to exhortation to teaching. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery or the eldership. Be diligent in these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Here's your priority. Here's your focus. Give 100% that thy progress may be manifest unto all. Take heed or pay attention to thyself and to thy teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Paul says, first of all, pay attention to the Word of God. Now notice that he doesn't say, pay attention to what man says about the Word of God or human traditions or what the denominations teach or what my pastor says or the reverend or the priest or the pastor. He says, give attention to reading, the reading of the Word of God. That's very important. That's why our daily Bible reading is very important. To spend some time paying attention to the Word of God, because all of these man-made voices out here in the world are trying to take us in some other direction. And we need a good diet of the Word of God, and pay attention to what you're reading. Read a few verses and then just ask yourself, what did I just read? And how can I apply that in my life? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, where this same word is used by the writer of Hebrews, talking to Christians who are in danger of falling away. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, or we ought to pay attention to the things that were heard, that's the gospel message, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word, that's the word of the gospel, spoken through angels proved steadfast, in the Old Testament, God's Word in the Old Testament, that Word, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them, the apostles, that heard. And they have given us His Word, and we ought to pay attention to the things that we have heard from the Lord and His apostles. He doesn't say pay attention to what people think and feel. He doesn't say pay attention to denominational theories and ideas, philosophies of men. He says pay attention to what we have heard in the gospel message. That's why reading our Bible is so important. One of my goals in going overseas is to make sure that all brethren in a local congregation have their own Bible. You're thinking, well, everybody's got their own Bible. Uh-uh. Not in other countries. We do. We got them laying around there everywhere. You probably got several Bibles at home. They're just everywhere. Over there, they do not have their own Bible. I want people to have their own Bible so they can pay attention to what God is telling them. And we don't need to drift from that. We can slowly drift away. If we are not paying attention, we're going to get hurt spiritually. Do you know that if you don't pay attention on some things, you can get hurt? If you're around a hot stove and you don't pay attention, you can get hurt. If you're working with some tools and you're not careful, you're not paying attention with those tools, you can get hurt. My grandfather farmed up in Ohio, and one winter he wasn't paying attention. He was outside farming. He wasn't paying attention, and he got frostbite on his toes. The frostbite turned into gangrene, and he had to have his leg cut off. You got to pay attention. You can get hurt. And we've got to pay attention to the Word of God. And as parents and teaching our children and working with them, hey, wake up. This is what the Word of God says. Sometimes we'll do that, right, parents? Hey! You know, we'll speak loudly, we'll clap our hand, we'll snap our fingers, wake up! And losing our soul is dangerous. And so the writer of Hebrews says, pay attention to what has been heard. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, Peter uses the same word there. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you pay attention. Take heed. And this word, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. God's word is like a lamp shining in a dark place. And boy, we are in a dark place. We are in a dark place in this world. When you see all the sin and darkness going on. But the thing that's going to help us get through that is to pay attention to this word like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And then he goes on to talk about Scripture in verse 20. Scripture. You would do well to pay attention. So let's pay attention to the Word of God. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul tells Timothy to pay attention to exhortation. That's the exhortation that he's doing through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So we need to pay attention to the preaching of God's Word. And put out of our mind other things when there is the preaching of the Word of God. And I've always appreciated the audience that I have here when I preach and teach and when other men do it as well. It's a very good audience. And I can tell that folks want to pay attention, and that's great. We've got to pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, begins his lesson by making that very point. Peter lifted up his voice and spake and said, "Men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be known unto you, and give ear or pay attention to my words." And some did. And about 3,000, after hearing that sermon, said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And they were baptized into Christ. They paid attention. Pay attention to what is being preached. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to Samaria to preach the gospel. The text says, "The multitudes paid attention with one accord unto the things that were spoken by Philip, when they heard and saw the signs that he did." Paid attention to the sermon. Wow. It's going to help us. Men stand in this pulpit and they say things from the Word of God that really help us. And when we listen carefully, we can put that in our lives and we can go out changed. And what's interesting about this word is, if you come down with me to Acts chapter 8 and come down to verse 10, this same word is used before Philip showed up. They were paying attention to Simon. But when Philip showed up, they changed and they paid attention to the truth. And that's what goes on today. This Simon, verse 10, to whom they all paid attention from the least to the great, is saying, "This man is the power of God which is called great." And they paid attention to him because that of long time he had amazed them with sorceries. That's what happens. We're out in the world and, oh, I'm paying attention to that. But then when the Word of God comes, I need to pivot and switch. I need to pay attention to the truth. They were being amazed by this false magician. And that's what happens. We get on something in our culture and we're kind of following that. We need to get back to paying attention to the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And when you turn to Acts 16, the word is used there, that Lydia paid attention to the things that she heard. And as a result of that, she was baptized into Christ. How does this lesson apply to me? What is being said? Am I understanding what is being preached? Am I following along in the Word of God? Am I applying it in my lives? Is there any change that I need to make? Whatever that attention is. Whatever that attention is. And then I walk out a changed person. Not just going through the motions. Oh, it's another sermon or it's another Bible class. We'll get to teaching here in a minute. It's not just another sermon. It's not just another Bible class. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, "Give attention to your teaching." A appreciate the Bible class teachers that we have here. They give attention to being accurate with the Word of God. They want to be right with the Word of God. They want to explain the Word of God. They want to read the Word of God. They want to apply the Word of God. And so Paul says, pay attention to your teaching. Do you know that when we're teaching someone, we're leading them down a path, right or wrong? So our teaching needs to be careful. Jake was telling me earlier where they're at there at East Shelby that he was teaching the minor prophets. And I was so proud to hear that he was teaching the minor prophets. What a great thing. Young man teaching the Word of God. When we teach, it's a great privilege, but it's also a great responsibility. Boy, you are guiding people's hearts and minds. You are essentially giving them information that can either help them get to heaven or go to that other place. So your teaching has to be careful. Pay attention to teaching, he says. I'm going to read and reread and I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to say something about the Word of God that I'm not sure about. I want to really understand what I'm about to say before I tell this audience, whether it's the little kids all the way up to the adults, because I'm molding and making people's minds, and so I've got to pay attention to my teaching. No shortcuts. No shortcuts. No quick fixes. No go into the classroom and wing it. No making up stuff. I am going to be very careful and spend time before I open up my mouth to teach. I want to be careful what I'm saying. Pay attention to your teaching. Paul says, and then turn with me to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, as we read earlier, one more area of our life that we would do well to pay attention to. And in a society where it's all about everybody else, we need to remind ourselves to pay attention of our own selves. In 1 Timothy 4:16, pay attention to yourself and to your teaching. Well, what about brother so-and-so? And what about sister so-and-so? Well, there's time later to talk about them. You get your life right. I get my life right. And we can spend more time, well, they need this lesson and they need that lesson. And somebody needs to talk with them about this and somebody needs to talk with them. Okay, that's fine. But what about me? Am I living right? And so Paul said to him, take heed to yourself, pay attention to yourself. What does that mean? That doesn't mean look down at your body. It means, am I living right? I'm preaching and I'm teaching and I'm claiming to be a Christian. Am I living right? Or am I living a hypocritical life? Pay attention to yourself. You ever hear those remarks that people make from time to time about mothers or wives or spouses? Just need some time to yourself. That's good. Sometimes we do. You just need some time to yourself. Not work, not kids, whatever. Just need some time to yourself. We need that in a spiritual way. So then he says, take heed to yourself. Gamaliel said that in Acts chapter 5 with regard to, well, what are we going to do with Peter and John? They're preaching Jesus. And Gamaliel says, you need to pay attention to yourselves. If this thing is of God, you're just wasting your time. Pay attention to yourselves. And Paul said this to the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Pay attention to yourselves. Focus. We live in a world of distractions, and these are some things. God's Word, our preaching, our teaching, and ourselves. We've got to spend some time regularly focusing on those things. Am I right with God? In contrast to that, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's look at four things that Paul says not to pay attention to. Do not pay attention to myths, things that aren't true. Neither pay attention to fables and endless genealogies which minister questionings rather than a dispensation of God which is in faith. And we're going to come back to that in just a minute, that phrase, dispensation of God or administration of God. We'll come back to that in a minute. Don't pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. Don't pay attention to things that man says that aren't true. Pay attention to things that are in the Bible that are true. There's all kinds of philosophies, evolution and a bunch of other things that are not true. Evolution, naturalism, humanism, situation ethics, postmodernism. There's all kinds of isms out there. There's all kinds of things that in reality are just myth, not true. And in our society, there are many people who are paying more attention to that than the Word of God. We've got to get it turned around. When this country got started, people were paying attention to the Word of God. Now, it's gotten flip-flop, and they're paying attention to everything but the Word of God. That's why in our families, we have to have God's Word in our life. There's all kinds of myths and fables and things that are lies. And we're not going to pay attention. Well, I read it on the internet. Okay. Well, I read it on Facebook. Or this scholar says this. Or this book on Amazon says that. There is much from mankind that is not true, and we've got to not pay attention to that. We've got to ignore that. And these endless genealogies, this would particularly be true among the Jews. Well, who am I related to? The problem was that at this time that Paul was writing, all of that is beside the point who you're related to. You need to be a Christian in Christ. It doesn't matter if you can trace your genealogy back through so-and-so. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. You can be one in Christ. And so these Jews are trying to figure out, well, who am I actually related to? And they're going on and on and on about that, and they're missing the whole point. I need to be in Christ. That's one of the problems with the endless genealogies is it's taking you away from you need to be in Christ. Not figure out if you're a Jew or not. That's his point in verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. Salvation is in Christ, not figuring out if you're a Jew or not. We don't do that today. We're not going to go home and try to figure out our genealogy. But isn't it true today that people focus on things that are just endless discussions that don't go anywhere? It could be politics, it could be other kinds of things that people have strong opinions about, but at the end of the day, it doesn't do anything. And so they're spending their time on endless things rather than on focusing on the important things that are found in the Word of God. Turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 1 where this word is used. Paul says not to pay attention to this. The Spirit says expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed, paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men. The devil is the origin, but he can use man, the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it be received with thanksgiving. That's why we pray before our meal, and we need to remember to do that. These lies that are spoken by men, similar to what I said earlier about the myths. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Stay away from that. Don't pay attention to that. And then turn with me to Titus chapter 1 and verse 14. Another thing that happens, and this is especially true in the name of religion, although it can happen other places, is the commandments of men. Rather than following the Word of God, we let some religious person or body of persons tell us what to do. And Paul writes to Titus, not giving heed, not paying attention to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. There's all kinds of stuff that is done in denominations where somebody stands up either a person or a ruling body or of the head of that church. It could be one person. It could be a body, a ruling body of bishops or conference or synod. And we're going to say such and such, and you need to go out and follow such and such. No. We're going to follow what God says in Scripture. We're actually seeing where there's a little bit of upheaval in the United Methodist Church. I don't know if you've seen that story or not, but in the past month, over 7,000 churches of the United Methodist Church have pulled away from that denomination because they don't like what they're being told about homosexuality. They're being told, you've got to accept homosexuals, and they're saying, uh-uh. And they're pulling away from that denomination. And you'll probably see that in other denominations as time goes on. People realize, hey, we're being commanded by men, this and that. I just need to follow the Word of God. Don't pay attention to the commandments of men who turn away from the truth. Let me close this morning by making this point as to why this matters. Why attention matters. Well, look at the very serious car wreck in Clarksville that came about as a result of somebody not paying attention. And then ask yourself, does this matter or not? When they end up over at Tenova or their life flighted to Vanderbilt, just ask yourself, I guess this does matter. I guess attention kind of matters, right? It matters. It matters. You can get seriously hurt. It can cause a bad problem in your life. And so it matters greatly. So let's go back and look at these passages that we looked at earlier and just make a notice about some things. Turn back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. The Spirit says that in the latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed, paying attention to seducing spirits. Underscoring your Bible, shall fall away from the faith. It matters because your attention affects your direction. These people are falling away from the faith. They're now going in the wrong direction because they were paying attention to something that they shouldn't have paid attention to. It affects your direction in life. That's why it's important. Somebody says, well, why is it important to pay attention? It affects your direction. Do you want to go to heaven or hell? There's your two choices. When you aim a gun, if you want to hit the bullseye, if you want to hit the target, you've got to be looking at it. You've got to be paying attention to that. You've got to be looking ahead at the target. You're more likely to hit it. If you're shooting a basketball, you're more likely to hit the goal if you're paying attention to what you're looking at, what you're aiming at. It affects your direction. And we all want to go to heaven. And so we've got to pay attention. It's going to direct us to heaven. Turn with me back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. It affects our understanding. It affects our knowledge base. It affects what we know and what God wants for us to know. Pay attention to this word as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It's a lamp of knowledge and a lamp of truth. And we can understand and know what God wants us to know if we will pay attention to the words. What does God want me to understand? What does God want me to know? Well, I pay attention to His words and it affects what I know. That's why for us and for our children and for our young parents here, which I love to see, and the little kids, I love to see them, make sure that you start early in life reading the Bible. They need to hear that from you. And they need to have a period of time where they hear the Bible at home from mom and dad. And if they don't get it from one, at least they can get it from you. So that they can have an understanding. And when it gets difficult in junior high with all the messed up stuff, And when it gets difficult in high school and then later in college, they've got the understanding to keep their two spiritual feet on the ground. Number three, it affects our service to God. We can be so focused on something that is not important. So turn back with me to 1 Timothy 1. When we're focused and paying attention to this endless genealogies, Paul says all it does is minister questionings rather than a dispensation. The word there means a service of God. We're not out serving God when we're paying attention to nonsense. It does not help us in a dispensation or a service, literally a stewardship, to do what God wants me, He's given me this word and work in my life, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a good steward or a good administer. The older versions say dispensation of God. A service of God. Being a steward in God's service. But when I'm paying attention to the Word of God, then it affects my service. I am going to be out serving God on a regular basis. When I'm paying attention to this other, I'm not serving God. And then last of all, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. It affects our eternal destiny. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and them that hear thee. We're talking about our eternal destiny. And we all want to be saved. So paying attention, you'll save yourself and others who hear you. Well, pay attention. Pay attention. What a great thought in today's world of distraction. Let's go out and focus on those important kinds of things. Do we need to pay attention more to God's Word? Let's have a daily Bible reading. Some sort of habit in our lives. Let's pay attention to the preaching of God's Word and ask ourselves each time that it's preached, what am I going to do now in a practical way to apply it in my life? Let's pay attention to our teaching. And I appreciate the teaching program that we have here. It's easy to get kind of sloppy in the area of Bible study. And we don't have that here. And I'm very impressed with that. It's very good. Everybody wants to be careful. That's very good. And let's pay attention to ourselves. Yes, there's others around us who need help with this or that. But let's make sure that we ourselves are right with God. We can actually work on being more attentive. And if there's some area of our life where we can work on that, let's do that so that our direction and our destiny will be salvation. If we can help you this morning by coming and putting on Christ in baptism, just pay attention to that right now. Any person here that needs to respond to the gospel, there's other stuff going on in your life, just put that out. I need to pay attention right now to my relationship with God. And if I've got sin in it and I need to wash it away, I'm going to take care of that right now. Okay? Just focus on that for right now. Or if there's a child of God that needs to come back in some way, just focus on that right now. If we can help you, why won't you come?